You're tuned in to the Todd Coconato Show, otherwise known as The Remnant, one of the most listened to podcasts in the Christian community. You can visit our website, toddcoconato.com, and now broadcasting live around the world from Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee. Here's the host of the show, Pastor Todd Coconato.
What would you do if you knew something that other people didn't? What if you knew that in 5 years from now, the world would be completely different than it is right now? How would you live your life? What would you be up to? Would you be doing the things that you're doing right now? What if you knew the whole world was going to be different? Well, we're going to talk about this today because I think it's something we need to talk about. I'll share a little bit of my story. You know, for years I've been a watchman. I've been warning folks about things. And a lot of these things have come to pass at this point. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'm on the radio, why the ministry has expanded the way it has. And because for many years I was just a voice in the wilderness. And I know some of you were as well. And then it was due season. All of a sudden it was the things that we had been talking about were happening. And folks started looking back and remembering, hey, wait, that guy was saying this. You know, what else does he have to say? And I believe that that's what's happened with some of the folks that are out here right now. Not all, but some of the voices that God has raised up in this season. That might be you. Might be you at your church or the ministry that God's given you, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. You're working with kids or, you're running for office. You're a dentist. It doesn't really matter what you do professionally. What matters is your mission, what you're called to do as far as what has God anointed you to do, and are you doing it? And if you are, then you're seeing the fruit of that right now. I believe we're in a season of growth and fruit because the hour is late and the time is short. And so God is raising up a standard. Those that have ears to hear and eyes to see, those that are willing to say yes, and we talk about this a lot. Well, here we are. It's due season. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, what if we knew? What if God came down? And, you know, maybe there's an angel that appeared to you or something, and they said, you have 5 years left of the world that's going to be like you know it, and then everything is going to dramatically change. And so what would you do if you knew that for a fact? What would you do if you knew you had a year? What would you do if you say, you know, an angel came or God spoke to you audibly, or you had a dream or a vision, and you heard a heavenly host or God himself say, you have one more year, and then everything's going to be different. What would you be doing with your time right now? I know that's a tough question, but we're gonna ask it today because I think that if folks knew, and I'm not trying to scare you, and I'm certainly not being doom and gloom, but I'm just being honest with you and real. If we really knew what was coming in the next few years, would we be living the way that we're living right now? Because I see a lot of people on the sideline. It's a lot of people depressed and kind of just spinning their wheels, and some people are having pity parties. I know you know what I'm talking about. Some people, maybe you, maybe. Some people feel like a victim. Some people are just replaying what happened to them over and over, offended. Can't believe this happened. Can't believe that happened to me. How did that happen to me? Why did that happen to me? Why did God allow that to happen to me? Well, listen, I pastored long enough to know there's a good amount of people that are in that situation, and I'm not here to bag on you. If that's you, I'm not here to bag on you or to make fun of you or anything. I'm not here to condemn you. What I'm saying is I'm trying to stir all of our minds to think of the reality of the world that we're in right now and the lateness of the hour. I mean, when you got guys like Rick Renner who comes on my program and I say, Rick, you know, are we in the end times? He says, I believe we're in the end of the end times. And this is what a lot of Bible scholars and very astute people in the faith are feeling. And have felt. I mean, think about what David Wilkerson was saying before he went to be with the Lord. He was warning. And that's what prophets do. They warn. They warn from the Lord. You better repent. Listen, there's this thing, this solar eclipse is coming across our country. Now, do I buy everything that people are saying about it? No. But do I think that there's something to it? Yeah, I do. I think that there's going to be signs in the heavens. I think that God is warning his people. For those that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. And you know, if you're in tune with the Spirit, if you're spending time in your prayer closet, you know there's an urgency in your heart, isn't there? You feel something. Something's going to happen. you feel it more and more. And don't you feel like sometimes we're on borrowed time? Like, it's just not like it was when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I wasn't thinking about that. Sure, I had heard about the rapture. I'd heard about things, you know, that people would tell you in church and what's going to come in the future. But it didn't feel quite yet like it was that time. You know, like people would say maybe, or, you know, they'd point out things. I remember when they first started talking about the microchips in the hands and, you know, just some of the technology that was coming down the pike. And we were thinking, wow, that certainly does sound like it could be associated with the mark at some point, or these things are getting more and more regular and mainstream, and now they're talking about things that, you know, but now it's so different. I mean, do you know what I'm saying? Now you wake up and you're like, is it today? Is something going to happen right now? You know, that's where we're at. We know that it's way sooner and the hour is late, and people have lost their mind in many different places, many different people. They've given their minds over to the demonic. They've lost their identity. I mean, they're just like reprobate. They're just walking around zombies. And this is happening. All is happening more and more. And people have just walked away. There's a great falling away, even though there's also a great harvest of souls. But there's a great falling away. Many people are under deception. Many people want their ears tickled. And so here we are. If you knew that you had 5 good years left, what would you be doing? I'm saying this because I care about you. And honestly, God put this on my heart to say. Because sometimes we put things on the table so long, and we never, ever do what we're supposed to do. And so let me tell you something. Over the weekend, I took my daughter. Listen, one thing that I have changed in a dramatic way is making sure that I spend good quality time with my family. I make sure my wife knows how much I love her and appreciate her. I make sure my daughter has daddy time. I make sure that I'm present in the moment. Now, is that always the case? No. And am I perfect now? Definitely not. But what I realize is, due to the lateness of the hour, I better appreciate this time. We don't know how much time we have left, friends. And I just think we've got to look at things a little differently. Where before I might have been concerned about prominence or material things or what I could own or whatever, that's just not my priority at this point in my life. Not that it's not good to work hard or to want to be successful in whatever it is that you do, or, you know, those things are fine. I mean, I think you should be driven. Don't make them an idol. But I don't think it's, you know, a bad thing if you work hard. I think it's a good thing if you work hard and you have, you know, nice things because you work hard and you take care of your family, and that's good. I mean, you should do that. But the deal is, you can't make it an idol. But this isn't the 80s. This isn't the 90s. This isn't even the 2000s. We are in a new era. And so anyway, I took my daughter to this playground over the weekend, and I wrote something today, and I wanted to share this with you because I think it's going to help some people. You know, and I'm just going to read a little bit what I wrote. I said, yesterday afternoon, I took my daughter to the playground, and God showed me something. Life, in many ways, can be likened to a playground, a place filled with opportunities, challenges, and a spectrum of experiences. But from a biblical Christian perspective, this analogy can help us understand the journey of faith, the choices that we make, and the attitudes we hold towards life's ups and downs. You see, just as the playground is dotted with slides and swings and sandboxes, life presents us with various paths and experiences. The biggest slides could symbolize the moments that require courage and faith, the opportunities to step out in trust, believing that God is with us even in the most daunting challenges. My daughter was scared and she was shaky, but she knew her father was with her. So she went to the highest slide. And when she did, she loved it, friends. She wanted to keep going, but she had to overcome those fears. See, these moments often lead to significant growth and exhilarating experiences in our faith journey, much like the thrill of going down the biggest slide. Do you remember when you were a kid and there was that big slide on the very top of the playground, and it was high and it was scary? But when you went down it was fun, wasn't it? On any playground, you'll notice some children hesitant, watching from the sidelines, perhaps overwhelmed by fear or discouragement or previous fails. Similar in life, some of us find ourselves on the sideline, held back by what? Fear, past failures, or a sense of inadequacy. We watch others embrace the fullness of life's playground, longing to join but unsure if we can. Instead, we remain on the bench. I even saw a few kids crying. Crying at the playground? They were missing out on a good day and many awesome memories. See, the Bible encourages us not to be controlled by fear, but to trust in God's presence and promises. In Isaiah 41:10, it says this, it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." This verse is a gentle nudge into the step of the playground that we need to go to, the playground of life, reassured of God's unfailing support and guidance. We need to get off the bench and participate. We still have many opportunities ahead, and we need to enjoy the moment. Hello? The playground is most enjoyed when we participate fully, whether that's by tackling the biggest slide or swinging as high as we can or simply enjoying the sandbox. Similarly, life is richest and most fulfilling when we engage with the opportunities God places before us, using our talents for His glory and stepping out in faith where He leads. Paul's words in Philippians 4:12 through 13 remind us of the secret to contentment and strength in every situation. It says, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So here's the encouragement to step off of the sidelines. For those of us on the sidelines, it might be a time to wipe away our tears and trust that the same God who created the universe is with us on the playground of life. He's cheering us on, ready to catch us if we fall, and encouraging us to experience the fullness of life in Him. See, the playground analogy serves as a reminder that life, with its challenges and its joys, is an opportunity for us to live boldly and faithfully. It invites us to move beyond our fears, to embrace the adventures God has in store, and to experience the profound joy and fulfillment that come from trusting and walking with God. So listen, whatever you're facing, the biggest slide of your life, or whatever you find yourself sitting out, remember that the Lord is with you, offering you the strength, offering you the courage, and the joy for this journey. Let's step into the playground of life and faith, ready to experience all the beautiful moments God has prepared for us. This really was my heart after I had this kind of vision when my daughter, it wasn't like some crazy super spiritual moment, don't get me wrong. I didn't see like, you know, any angels or anything like that, but I was just watching this playground and the scene, you know, here in Tennessee. I was watching the whole scene of the playground. And you got some kids having the time of their life. Some of them are scared to go to the very top slide, while the ones that do go up there going up and down and up and down, and they're just having the best day ever. And then right over there on the side, here's some kids crying. I'm thinking their parent just took them over here to the playground. It should be like the coolest place for a kid like, you know, their age. And yet they're over there on the side making it a bad experience. Why? Because they're fearful. Something in them made them where they didn't even want to go up onto the playground. They didn't want to get involved. All the other kids are over there running around. They're over there on the sideline crying. And I thought, my gosh, is this not exactly what's going on in life? So many people, listen, are there bad things coming? Yes. Does the Bible say it? Yes. Is it for sure? Yes. So then why aren't we taking this time to do everything and anything that we're called to do? Some of my biggest successes, and they're all glory to God, but my biggest successes in life are because I took a risk. I stepped out of the boat. You know, just recently we moved over into this new location. And every time I take a big risk in my life, it's scary. I didn't know if anybody was going to come. I mean, I figured some people would, but how many? I don't know. I just knew that God was telling us we couldn't fit in that place anymore where we were. And it was a great place. It was a wonderful place. It was a holy place. But God was saying, I got to move you to somewhere bigger. And I'm opening a door. But it was more expensive. It was scary. There was all kinds of things that we had to do. And it takes fortitude. It takes tenacity. It takes a boldness. It takes trusting in God. It takes working hard. There's a lot of factors to it all. I mean, I remember that first week, about 2 weeks ago, we were working till late at night every night, my wife and I and my friends and people that work at the church with us. It wasn't an easy week. It was a busy week. We had running around like crazy people. But we knew that it was God bringing us into a new season. And when we got to that new grand opening, it was amazing what God did. It just was probably one of the highlights of my life to think that, wow, we've only been in this state for, 3 years in Tennessee, and look what the Lord has done. We didn't even know anybody out here. And now we have a full church of people. And that's, again, all glory to God. And it's just beginning. I have no idea what God's going to do in the next couple of months or next couple of years, and surely the story isn't over. What about when we decided to go around the country and start doing some of these cities? You know, the first time you put it out there, like, is anybody going to come? I don't know. Well, sure enough, we got 3 bigger rooms in the conference center in Texas. There's no bigger room now. We're at the max. I'm just giving you examples. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back because, again, it's all glory to God. But I did say yes. I will tell you, I said yes. And sometimes that's what we got to do, whatever it is. You know, when I met my wife, I remember I was shyer than I am today. And, you know, I see this pretty woman that's sitting over there in the, actually in the department store, funny enough, where we met. She was folding clothes. And I said, look at that beautiful woman there folding clothes as a single guy, you know, happened to just be standing there waiting for somebody. And we sparked a conversation. And just when I was about to go, and trust me, I had been through HELL and back in Los Angeles in dating. Let me just tell you, it's not an easy city. And I was a pastor, and it was not easy. But, had to get up and trust God that, hey, you know what? You do have somebody for me, and it's going to work out, and it's going to be good. And so here I'm at this department store, and I see this beautiful woman, and we're just standing there kind of chit-chatting. And then I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to go now. You know, it's time to go. And I just almost left, And then something in me says, ask her if she has a boyfriend. So I went back and I said, hey, by the way, do you have a boyfriend? And she looks at me. She's like, no. And I said, oh, good. I said, well, maybe would you ever consider going out with me somewhere? And she said, yeah. I said, that would be awesome. So we exchanged numbers. And then that wasn't the end. Like, she was busy. I was busy. She was busy. And I'm thinking, well, maybe she was just being nice. And so I just texted her a very real text. I said, I felt like we had a connection there, but, you know, I don't want to bother you or anything. I mean, but, you know, would you want to still go out? Because I had already texted her like, you know, 2 or 3 times and she wasn't available. And so I just didn't want to be one of these weird people, you know, that bothered somebody. So do you want to go out? And she's like, no, I do. I really do. I've just been working a lot. And then my family was in town. And so when you had texts, it's just, I had people in town. And so I hadn't been doing anything but being with them. And so, but I do, I really enjoyed our conversation. I do want to go out with you. Okay, let's go out. So we go out, and that was it, friends. Once that first date happened, we never parted again, and married the love of my life now. And has it always been 100% easy? No, because marriage takes work. But we have a great marriage, and she's a great woman, and we complement each other very well, and God continues to do new things, you know, because we work at it, and it's you know, we got to press in. I always turn the pointer around at myself, especially these days, and just say, what can I do better, you know, and how can I love this woman like Christ loves the church? And it's amazing what happens when you do that, right? So why am I talking about these things today? Because we have got to be present in the moment. We've got to take a risk. We've got to do whatever it is that God's put on your heart to do. There's a passion. Start moving towards that in this season. Whatever God has put on your heart, you got to start moving towards it because he's put that in your heart. If he's put it in your heart, I just don't think there's much more time to waste. We don't want to be the kid on the side of the playground crying. We don't want to be the kid that's at the, you know, the best time. This literally could be the best time of your life. And yet you're sitting there crying. Why? Because something happened to me. Well, something happened to me. Something happened to many people. Everybody that's listening to this broadcast has probably had something happen to them. But are we going to be the victim or are we going to be victorious? Because guess what? If you're part of the body of Christ, you are victorious. He says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I don't think God made a mistake in bringing you into the world this time. But I do think you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. I do think that it's time right now for you to start challenging yourself more. I do think it's 100% time for you to start really thinking about if you're walking in your calling or not. Yeah. And to really be pressing into the Lord at this time and having confidence in Him. Have the confidence to wake up and say, you know what? I'm going to do a little bit more than I did last season. I'm going to be a little bit more bold. I'm going to do something out of the ordinary. I'm going to stretch myself. I'm going to go do something for the kingdom that I normally wouldn't do. I'm going to try to get somebody saved. I'm going to start witnessing to somebody today. I'm going to share my testimony. Whatever it is that God's put on your heart to do, as long as it's for the glory of the kingdom, something God's put on your heart. It's about time that we answer the call. We don't want to be on the sideline. You know, my little daughter was scared to death to go up to that high slide. Listen, it's high. I went up there. It's high. She wanted me to go down the slide with her, but I was afraid I was going to get stuck inside of it, you know? But it was high. But first I had to lift her up and put her in that little, you know, turret or whatever they call it, you know, where they have the slide at the very top. It's like a castle, you know? And so, you know, you're up at this thing up there, and it's high. And it's like, you look down, and you're like, man, if I fell, I'd hurt myself. Even though the ground had that rubbery stuff. It's still, I mean, you'd hurt yourself if you fell that high. But, you know, the thing is that you're up there, and then you go down the slide, and it's fun. And you realize it's not really that crazy. I mean, I remember, like, when I first flew in an airplane, I thought I was crazy. Then I flew it. Not that bad. You know, when I first did something very, you know, like extreme, I remember I rode my mountain bike down a really steep hill, and I thought I was going to endo. You know, I thought I was going to die, but I didn't. I survived it. I did it, and then I did it again. I did it again. Hey, this is actually kind of fun. How many times have you done something when at first it was taboo or scary, and all of a sudden you understood, oh, I can actually do this. My first time public speaking, I was terrified. I was the shy guy. People wouldn't know that, but I was. But I was able to get outside of that and actually talk. And when I talked, people actually liked what I had to say. Wow, I would have never known. What I'm trying to say is this is a time when I talk about the reformers, and I talk about the reformers are willing to get over themselves, you know, whatever it is that's holding you back. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not, you know what, whatever. God made you the way He did. And one thing I know when I was in Hollywood is that it's not about looks. I know people think it's about looks, but it's not. Because I've seen very heavy set guys come in and they have what they call game, and they would just start speaking, and before you know it, that guy would win that girl over. I'd be like, how'd that happen? Because he was confident. Now, we don't do that in the Christian world. I'm not trying to say to have game like you're a rapper or something, but what I'm saying is, in the Christian world, what we do is we have the confidence of God. We know that we're a child of the Most High. And when we walk in that godly confidence and we start stepping out of the boat and walking on the water and doing what we're called to do, if not now, when? If not us, who? If not here, where? When is going to be the time? Because if in 5 years from now, everything were to change, in 2 years, in 1 year, in 6 months, would you look back at this time and regret that you didn't do everything that you were supposed to do? That's all I'm saying. This is the playground. Here we are. Are you going to go up to the highest slide? Are you going to take the mountain for the kingdom of God? Are you going to step into your calling in this time? What is it going to take? Because if you knew, if I knew, if everybody knew what was coming down the pike, and we look back at this time, what will we say? So I just feel like I needed to give a little pep talk today. Sometimes it's not, you know, I could get into the news, all the doom and gloom and horrible stuff. I could talk about what just happened with Trump and, you know, his horrible court case that they're coming after him. And I could talk about how P. Diddy was just raided for sex trafficking. I could talk, I mean, there's just so many breaking stories. I could go on and on and on. Solar eclipse. You know, the border situation, what happened in Russia the other day with a terrorist attack. I mean, there's just so much. Or we could sit here and we could say, what is God up to right now? And how can I get in line with what God is up to? Stop limiting yourself. Why are you limiting yourself? I'm to this. I'm to that. This happened to me. No, it didn't. You know what it did? But it wasn't meant to destroy you. That which does not kill you makes you stronger. I was molested, Pastor Todd. It's hard. Boy, is it ever. Trust me, I was in Hollywood. But let me just tell you something, okay? That wasn't the end of your life. It didn't take you down. It didn't kill you. So you can either just keep thinking about what happened to you, or you could also say, thank God I'm still here. I'm going to rise up because I'm an overcomer, and I know that there's millions of people that have been through worse things than I've been through, but you know what? Somehow they survived. I'm telling you, it's all about how we look at it. We've got to be doers, not just hearers. The reformers that God is raising up have chutzpah. The reformers that God is raising up don't compare themselves to others. The reformers that God is raising up don't care about what people think about them or say about them. That's because we know we're on a mission, and the mission is for God. Are we going to get out the boat? Are we going to go and play on the playground today? Are we going to have our moment? Are we going to enjoy our time for the glory in the kingdom? Because God has raised you up for such a time as this. Esther did it. Paul did it. Noah did it. It's time for you. He's brought you in the world. Not for your own glory. Not to be a celebrity or whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being great for the kingdom of God. And there is a hand of anointing on your life. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Hopefully that pep talk got you started today. I love you so much. Let me pray for you. Lord, we just thank you for this person that's listening. We bless them. Let us step into our calling in Jesus' name. God bless you.